being aware and starting to recognize how calls are impacting them, where they feel it in their mind, where they feel it in their heart, where they feel it within their body, and then identify a safe person to talk to. Again, even if it's just to say, I need some help.
Hey, Seattle Firefighters, this is Jen Pennington, your host at Listen Up L27. We are kicking off the season with a very special guest today from Station 2 Clinic. Laura Takis is here. She is an LICSW MPH, and she is the new mental health program director at Station 2 Clinic in Belltown. And I've got a bunch of questions for her today, but first I'd just like to say, Laura, thank you for being here and welcome.
Thanks, Jen. It's great to be here.
Laura, since this episode is actually Mental Health 101, let's start with the basics. How do you define mental health and why is it so important to understand, especially in the fire service?
How mental health is defined, it's an emotional, psychological, and social well-being that really does impact how we think, feel, and act, not only in the fire station, on the job, but also at work, all aspects of life. And why specifically it matters with firefighters is because it's a high-stress environment, a lot of traumatic calls, irregular sleep, and a very dangerous job, which can clearly take a toll and impact the performance overall. So I think it's really important for firefighters to remember that you are not just a firefighter, you're also a human, so you come with these emotions.
And recently, I was just actually speaking with some people about how mental health can carry a stigma in high-intensity jobs like firefighting. What are some common myths or misunderstandings you hear, and how do you address them?
So the myths about counseling, therapy, really the same thing, goes across the board, older generations, but also to the younger folks. And there's a lot of myths. One of the main myths that I hear about is that if I talk to somebody, that means that I'm weak, that I can't handle it like the other firefighters can. And so what does that say about me? Another myth is that I will be judged and the other firefighters or administration might not see me as strong as the other firefighters, might not be as confident in my work. Another myth being that my job might be in peril if I go to counseling and open up. But one of the most significant myths is that what good is talking going to do about it? That it's not going to take it away. And how I address that with firefighters is that it might not take it away completely, but it can definitely help ease the burden that you're not the only one carrying it.
If we're trying to build an awareness around this, what do you see as some of the early signs that a firefighter or anyone might be struggling with their mental health?
Great question. And it's important to realize that the difficulty might not be coming from the job. It could be coming from something that has started at home that is being brought to the job. And some signs to be aware of includes withdrawing from the crew or family, more agitation, more easily angered, feelings of hopelessness, replaying a certain call over and over again in your mind, insomnia, oversleeping, changes in appetite, changes in weight. And another physical sign might include frequent headaches, stomach aches, some thoughts that I would want firefighters to really be aware of and consider if they might need to talk to somebody include feeling persistent guilt about a certain call, blaming themselves, thoughts like, I'm a burden, nothing is ever going to get better, and I just want this to stop.
Those are some really good signs to look out for. So if we're talking about that, what are some of the next steps they can take?
I think the most important first step is just to start to recognize it, to notice what is happening, when the burden is becoming too heavy, how often, what's the frequency of that burden showing up, and then what are you doing to cope with it?
And I think when we talk about holding it together, and what does healthy coping actually look like in someone exposed to trauma regularly?
Again, noticing it and maybe identifying one trusted person. You don't have to tell the whole story. You don't even have to tell everything that you're feeling. It can be as simple as, I'm just not feeling myself. and I need to tell somebody.
And I think one of the things that we look to as well is to make sure that you have peer support on your side. So there is a peer support person generally around that you can talk to as well that's available to you. As we kind of look at maybe accessing some help and reducing some of the barriers. You mentioned that Station 2 sessions typically span 8 to 12 visits, is that right?
Yes.
And for someone who's never been to therapy, what can they expect when they walk through the door?
Confidentiality, clarity on what counseling looks like, a non-judgmental atmosphere, caring, and definitely supportive. They can also expect to experience two dedicated, experienced therapists in trauma, grief, and loss.
And how does short-term therapy work? And what kind of outcomes are realistic in that time frame?
I think a lot of people think that not a lot can be accomplished in short-term therapy, which is simply not true. I know that we can accomplish many of the goals that a firefighter might have in that 2 or 3 month span. And if nothing else, coming in and just starting to offload or vent and allowing somebody else to really hear and hold with them what is happening, what they've experienced, that in and of itself is extraordinarily healing. And the other takeaway that I would want the firefighters to remember that even with short-term therapy, that a lot of skill can be learned and practiced in managing their emotional response.
What are some of the most common reasons firefighters seek therapy and what brings them back?
What we're hearing has a lot to do with families and how they want to interact with their families and their children. So we have a lot of requests for skill building around how to communicate, how to identify with family members what it is they need, and then how to communicate that with them. Another topic of interest that is coming to us is that firefighters want to learn how they can help their coworkers. How can they help identify signs of burnout, signs of trauma in their peers?
As we go forward too with this, a lot of what you talk about too is called mental strength. You've described therapy as a different kind of bravery. Can you talk more about that idea and what does mental strength look like?
Mental strength doesn't mean fix it right away or even fixing it at all. What it means is to be able to identify internal resilience or external coping strategies to be able to cope in a healthier way that is more satisfying and brings them more peace.
What advice would you give to someone who's worried about what their crew or family might think if they start therapy?
I believe just starting to talk to one trusted person, I think it's going to be helpful for firefighters to remember that they can't control necessarily what other people think about them going to counseling. What I do believe is that more firefighters would benefit from speaking to somebody than they're actually sharing. So being able to reconcile their own myths about counseling, their own barriers to counseling, that's going to be the first most helpful step for them to make the call to get in to seek help.
And if someone's listening today and wants to take one small step toward better mental health, what would you suggest?
The first step would be to just start to notice what you're carrying that feels more, a bit more painful, a bit more distressing, noticing when it is showing up, how intense it is showing up, and what you're doing about it. And then again, the next step would be to coming into Station 2 Clinic or seeking a community therapist would be to just find the one person that you feel comfortable confiding in, letting them know you're just not feeling yourself.
You've said you want firefighters to focus on finding peace. What are some realistic ways to start doing that, especially with such a demanding job?
I think it's first important to understand that peace doesn't mean that everything's going to be calm and easy. But what it does mean is that a firefighter has the internal skill to stay grounded when chaos is all around. A couple of steps that I would suggest firefighters start to take is to find ways to have a mental reset. And that could be something as easy as stepping outside of the fire department after a hard call and just taking a minute to breathe by yourself. Also focusing on breathing, the classic breath of 4 seconds in, 4-second hold and then 4-second blowing out can be really effective. And also choosing a word to mentally reset. For example, telling yourself reset or steady. That would be one of the first steps that I would take to be able to find peace.
And I'm just curious, your breathing exercise, is that also referred to as box breathing?
Yes.
So, you know, for folks who might not be ready to make an appointment yet, what's something they can reflect on or pay attention to after hearing this episode?
Again, being aware and starting to recognize how calls are impacting them, where they feel it in their mind, where they feel it in their heart, where they feel it within their body, and then identify a safe person to talk to. Again, even if it's just to say, I need some help. But I think it's also important to remember that we, the firefighters, do have anonymous, safe crisis lines that they could call. For example, Code 4 Northwest or Safe Call Now. The number for Code 4 Northwest, 425-243-5092, and Safe Call Now, 206-459-3020. Firefighters are not ready to make the call to Station 2 Clinic or in the community to find a therapist. These are two very solid, reputable support lines that they can call to just start to talk.
I'd also like to remind people who may be listening, we also have on the website, we have your peer support roster. So you can find this under behavioral health on the website. And it's, again, another means to talk to somebody who you may want somebody within your station or you may want somebody outside of it. Laura, thanks so much for being here. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, just that it's been great to be here. Thank you.
To learn more about Laura, I'll drop a link on our episode page to an article about her background. And you can also find some of the resources that she's mentioned here on our webpage. She's also done a webinar on Mental Health 101 that we'll also have a link to. So stay tuned for that and we'll see you next time. Thanks so much. Thanks for joining us. Listen Up Bell 27 is a Seattle Firefighter Healthcare Trust production. This podcast is produced by the Rhizome Collaborative. I'm your host, Jen Pennington, and until next time, stay safe and stay healthy.